I want to thank Victor for directing the minds in the singing and appreciate his ability. And the scripture reading and prayer should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. We know that when we worship God in the right spirit, that means we have the right attitude. Attitude reveals what's in a person. We just want to stay with the Bible, and you talk to people out there in the world, and denominational people, and they talk about the spirit and the spirits in them and worshiping God in the right spirit. They believe that you get excited, that you jump and you shout. And that's not what Jesus wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is very intelligent. He calms us down. He don't get us all worked up and shouting and jumping around. The Holy Spirit calms us down. And so we worship God in the right spirit. We must have the right attitude. And attitude reveals what's in a person. When we worship God in truth, everything that we do must come from the authority of Christ. He has all authority. The preacher don't have the authority. All I can do is just tell people what the Word of God says, but all authority has been given to Christ in heaven and on earth. I cannot make laws. I cannot break laws. The elders cannot make laws. The elders cannot break any laws. There's only one lawgiver, and that lawgiver is Christ. Want to always welcome visitors and want them to know that they are always welcome here at Northside, and please come back and be with us. Appreciate John reading those scriptures. This is part three, and I hope that I can finish up this sermon, and then we'll get another look at some more things. And I just like to just plain Bible preaching, nothing complicated, just plain Bible preaching. And so want to continue my thought on the subject, Christ, the friend of man. Christ is our friend. He is not our enemy. And I pointed out last week, his main purpose was not to come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, we're going to be judged, we know that, but his main purpose was not coming into the world to condemn the world, but to save mankind. Now, in John chapter 15:13, Jesus tells us, as we are talking about friends, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And I've known that to happen, where people have laid down their lives for their friends. And in verse 14, Jesus tells us, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So to be Christ's friend, we must do everything, all things that he commands us to do. A friend knows and loves you in spite of your faults. Boy, I think that's good. Even though you have faults, we have faults, if they are true friends, they're going to love you in spite of your faults. Now, they're going to help you, but we're going to love each other in spite of our faults. Back years ago, I never will forget, there was a preacher, gospel preacher, that made a statement. And, because I don't know whether I agree with that statement or not. I'm not always right myself, but. But he said, you can have a falling out. And you can patch up things. But things will never be the same, he said that. I disagree with that. My wife and I, we have disagreements, and we disagree a lot of times, but we can patch it up, and yeah, we're going to get right back where we need to be. And that's the way Jesus, you know, when we mess up and we repent of our sins, and if you remember the prodigal son, he went out and done his own thing and all of that and messed up. And when he came back home, his father just was ready to receive him with open arms, and he put him back in his proper place, right where he was. Now, I'm a firm believer that, yeah, we can patch up things, and things should be the same. I just believe that with all of my heart. If things are the same with us, with Jesus, how come we can't, and we are to be like him? We are to grow towards perfection. Basically, what the preacher was, in one sense, left me to believe that really you just haven't forgiven. If we have a falling out, if we have a falling out and we can't get it back like it was, and we still can't go out and eat, and we still can't play whatever basketball or whatever we've been doing when we first started, and we can't do that anymore, somebody hasn't really forgiven. I just believe that with all my heart. A friend knows and loves you in spite of your faults, and believe me, people, we all have faults. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's a song that we sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. He forgives us. He loves us in spite of our faults. He loves us unconditionally. He's a friend, and everybody needs to be his friend. We talked about that Christ wants to be our friend. He willingly laid down his life. He laid it down. We asked the question last week, are you a friend of Jesus? And we pointed out that you can't be a friend of Jesus and love the world too. We cannot love the world. If we love the world, we are enemies of God. We are at enmity. We are at war with God. We cannot love the world and love God too. And we're talking about the sinful things of the world. Remember 1 John 2:15, when John said, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We have to do the will of God. We cannot love the world and be a friend of God. We just can't do that. We can't straddle the fence. We cannot serve two masters. Is Jesus all the way, or is not him at all? I know we grow towards perfection, but we cannot straddle the fence. He told how we can be his friend. John 15:14, where my brother John read, you know, we got to keep his commandment. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. We need to do to others, is my next point. Now, if you would take your Bibles and look at Matthew 7 and 12. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And it's good to work in the public with people. You can learn so much from people. They can really help us. They'll do a lot of stuff to you, and you know what the Bible tells us to do, and we have to still love them. They can really help us. The people that I have worked with through the years, and people that I have dealt with attitudes and all of that, they have really helped me. I just keep pushing towards Christ. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, listen to what he says here. Make sure I'm at the right place. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, I got some good information here in Matthew 7 and verse 12 that I want to share with you. This principle is called the golden rule. And the golden rule is something that we all should live by, the golden rule. Jesus is the first one to express this principle positively. Many people before Jesus had expressed this principle negatively. The iron rule. I had a guy that approached me with the iron rule. Is to do unto others, he said, before they do it to you. That's what he said. I was trying to teach him. He said, I'm going to do it to them before they do it to me. See, that's what the iron rule. You know, like an iron fist, the iron rule. He said, I'll get him before he get me. This is ruthless, and many live by the iron rule. They sure do. The silver rule is to do unto others as they do to you. In other words, if people are kind to you, then you be kind to them. If they're mean to you, then you be mean to them. See, that's the another rule that the Jews come up with. And it's not of God. It is not of God. We need to follow the golden rule. And the golden rule, we have to put it to actions. When people mistreat us, we still be kind to them. When people don't treat us right, it's our responsibility to be kind to them. This is what Christianity is all about. Being kind to people even though they are not kind to us. Speak to them even though they may not want to speak to us. That's the golden rule. And when we follow the golden rule, we are obeying God. And is it easy? No. We grow towards perfection. Have I always followed the golden rule? No. But I sure do it now. And we just need to follow the Bible and not follow what we hear from men, but what we hear from Jesus. And remember, he's the one that's going to save us. Man's not going to save us. And another thing about this, you don't listen to friends who's telling you wrong. I never forget one time there was a situation that happened on one of my jobs that I was on. And one guy told me, aren't you going to get your revenge? He did that to you. Aren't you going to get him back? I said, no, I can't do that. And please God. You know, God tells us that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so we have to live by that. We have to live by what Jesus says and not what man says. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and 38. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. And that's why it's so important to study the Bible and study every day and meditate upon God's word, because and put it to practice, by the way. Now, I can study the Bible and you can study the Bible, but we have to put it to practice. In Matthew 5, and look at verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was back under the old law. And what happened, there were those who really went further than the law. No man has a right to take the law in his own hands. If someone knocks out my eye, I don't have no right to knock his eye out. I need to let the law handle that. Now, I do believe in somebody coming in and they're going to kill up your family. Now, I do believe in self-defense and try to stop him if we can. But here I am on the job and somebody knocked my eye out. The first thing I'm going to try to do, if I can, to get away from him, if I can, and try to get that eye some type of treatment. But I don't have time to be trying to knock his out. But under the old law, they were taking things in their own hands. And Jesus is saying, you can't do that. Couldn't do it back then. You have to take those things to the authority. Do you not know there's been neighbors to go to prison because they took things in their own hands? I was looking at the news here not long ago, some man shot a man because he was cutting down some trees, and it was on his, the man was cutting down trees on his own property, but the guy didn't like the chainsaw, the sound of it. Didn't want that noise, and he went over and shot the man. Isn't that awful? I have known of people where their land would join, and one man got just a little bit on the other man's property, and he told him to get off this, that, and other, and they got in a heated argument, and the man got himself so worked up, he had a heart attack and fell right there and died. See, what if a man's dog get on my property? But you got people, man, that'll have a fit because your dog get on his property and he'll shoot the dog. He don't have no authority to shoot that dog. And I know people need to tie the dogs up. I do believe that. I have some good neighbors where I'm at. And sometimes my dog get on his property. And I said, I'm sorry, my dog got on your property. He said, don't you worry about it. I said, I have dogs. Me and him get along. At Smith Grove, we get along up there. We try to help one another. We worried about no dog getting on my property. Now, the dog gonna attack somebody, then that's, we call the authority. Once again, I don't have no right to shoot the dog. So an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, back under the old law, it was the Jews who went further than the law, and they was not taking that to the authorities. They were doing that stuff themselves. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if we own secular jobs and somebody smack you, swallow your pride, and don't smack him just because your friend's around. And you're going to hear it from them. Well, you should have smacked him back. No. I've known the situations where on secular jobs, they be in meetings, and even the people in authority and the boss, I heard of a situation where they was at a big meeting, and boy, it got heated up. And said the man went across that table and smacked the fire that guy. People ought to stop that. Over materialism, over something, power or something. Said he smacked him. Reached right across the table. And the guy that did the smacking, it wasn't about 2 or 3 weeks later or months later, had another meeting, somebody smacked him. Just smacking each other. Because you don't agree with me, I'm going to smack you. We can't do that. If somebody smacked me, I can't be smacking him back and be a child of God. We have meetings too, and a man smacked me, I'm not going to smack him back. I'm going to try to get away from him if I can. Somebody get hold of him. He done got all mad. But I don't have no authority to smack that man back. All right, Jesus said here, turn the other cheek. And then people add to the law, I'll turn it and turn the other cheek. Then I'll smack him. No, you can't do that. You add it. And I told the guy, you add it to that. Say, I'll turn it, but I'm going to smack him back. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Turn to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. See, we just have, God want us to be patient with people. He wants us to let Christ live in our hearts and let people see that Christ lives and he lives in the hearts of man. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? The sinner's not going to do it. People of the world's not going to do that. They're not going to let Christ reign in their heart. They're not even Christians. And then we have in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. We got a lot of work to do, don't we? See, enemies refer to those who work against that which is good. That's what an enemy is. He's working against that which is good. Enemies, they're going to curse you. When you tell them what God's word says, they're going to get upset with you. Sometimes they will. Not everybody will, but a lot of people, they're going to get upset with you. When you're doing personal work and door knocking, they slam the door in your face. We talked about that this morning in our Bible study. And just because I knock on somebody's door and go to their door and they slam it in my face, when somebody come to my house, I don't have no right to slam it in their face. We need to follow God. We need to follow Jesus. He has left us the example. We can't say that it can't be done. And I remember back years ago, I would talk to men and brethren of the church. I said, what would Jesus do? Or what did he do? He said, well, I'm not Jesus. I'm trying to get out of doing God's will. I'm not Jesus. Well, we need to follow his steps. And we can do that. And believe me, when we follow the steps of Jesus, you will feel better. You will feel better, and you're going to stay out of trouble when we follow the steps of Jesus. And like I was talking about just a few minutes ago, let's say, for instance, you, and I remember back when I was a younger man, somebody did something to me, and I got them back. I got them back. But you know what? I felt bad about that when I got them back. That's why we follow the Bible. Is that right, brother? Somebody told me this. I can't remember. Maybe a little child one time said that when you do good, you feel good. I think Phyllis taught them that. That's good. When you do good, you feel good. And that's the truth. We need to hear Christ in all things. Not just certain things, not just things that we want to hear, even things that we may not really be pleasant to the ears. We still need to obey him. That's talking about hearing, we're talking about obeying him. If you look at Acts chapter 3, 22, Acts chapter 3, and 22. I believe Peter records and he tells us this in Acts chapter 3, 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Talking about Christ, gonna raise up Christ. He's the prophet that he's talking about. And in Christ, he was man in the flesh, but God in the spirit. So he was raised up like those of the Old Testament, just from the grave. Him you shall hear in some things. That's not what that says. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet, talking about Christ, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. So here we find that Peter referring to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 15, which I will not go back and read. He was speaking of Christ. Just like under the old law, the Israelites were commanded to listen to Moses. Because that was the law. Listen to him. We are commanded today to listen to Christ, not in some things, not in most things, but in all things. We got to listen to him. I got to listen to him. All should be his friend. We all should be his friends. We'll want to be at his right hand. If you look at Matthew chapter 25 and 34, Matthew 25 and verse 34. As we get to the end of my lesson here. You want to be at his right hand. In Matthew 25. And verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. And we know what the story goes about that. Jesus was plainly saying that when you take care of my servants, it's like you taking care of me. When you visit my servants, you're visiting me. Because some of them asked Jesus, when did we not do these things? Jesus told them, explained to them, you didn't visit. You did not clothed, you didn't feed. Said, we never saw you hungry, Jesus. That's what they were saying. And Jesus said, well, when you don't take care of my servants, it's like you not taking care of me. When you take care of my servants, it's like you taking care of me. Would not want to hear him say, depart. You're not going to want to hear that. When Jesus is going to say to those, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's going to be a sad day. People, they don't even, can't comprehend that, right? They don't even, you tell them that, they don't even pay no attention. Look at Matthew 7:23. Just a few more scriptures I want to share with you. In Matthew chapter 7 and 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you did some things, you did things that I did not tell you to do. Matthew 25:41. And Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 25 and 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. And I was studying with some Jehovah's Witnesses, and I call them like it is. And we studied on the subject of hell. I said, and of course there was other scriptures I was getting them to read, and every time I'd get them to read that, it wasn't in there. I said, where's hell in your Bible? They said, it's not in there. I said, what happened to it? He said, we cut that out. I said, you can cut it out, but it's written in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. We met those guys at Barnes & Noble's. They wanted to study the Bible. And I said, well, we'll meet you there. Had Brother Davis with me at the time. So we were studying the Word of God and talking about the New Testament church. And I was just playing with him. I said, I want you to give me the book, verse, and chapter, because we are to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. When it comes to religious matters, we got to be able to find the scriptures. Now you give me the book, verse, and chapter where we can read about the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall. Where is it in the Bible? They couldn't find it. And then we got to talking about hell. And then I said, read Mark 9:44 where it says, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And that word worm, I believe it signifies remorse. It's going to be going through people's mind that I could have done right, but I didn't do it. Now I'm in hell. Well, the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. I could have obeyed Christ, but I didn't do it. And now here I'm in this place forever and ever and ever. And they said, it's not in my Bible. And Brother Davis, I guess it's sometimes it's good to take somebody with you. He said, let's go. He said, we're not going to get in the world if we're not on the same page. Here we got the word of God. We haven't changed anything. Hell is here. And they done cut it out. He said, let's go. And he helped me, I guess, along that line. I remember Phyllis, she would tell me, he said, Larry, you done talk to and be out at my place, at the house, done talk to a guy probably, I don't know, 2 hours, and I'm still trying to help him. And then after I got through talking to him, Phyllis said, if that guy don't want to hear, then just go on. Let him go. And she was right. She was right. If they don't want to hear, that's what Paul did. He shook the dust from his feet. He shook his raiment, so to speak. In other words, he went to people that would hear. And if we want to be his friends, we need to confess him before me. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. People don't want to confess Christ before men. But you know what? At the judgment day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You'll be made to do that, but you're not going to make it to heaven. But everybody will have to confess Christ before men. And at the judgment day, there will be no mercy. There's mercy now, but at the judgment day, there will not be no mercy. Do not delay becoming his friend and to become a Christian. And you remember Acts 26:28, Paul was preaching to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, he said to Paul, you have almost persuaded me to be a Christian. But as far as my knowledge, he never did obey. Almost is not good enough. We have to go ahead and obey all that God commanded us to do. And to become a Christian, one must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. One must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. One must repent of their sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Everybody has to repent. And there was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And one must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of his sins, confess Christ before men, Matthew 10:32, and be buried with Christ in baptism. That's what puts people into the body of Christ. And that's just the beginning. We got to be faithful unto the end. And Revelation 2:10, Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And Jesus invites all to come. He says, come to me, all you who labor. Matthew 11:28-30, and I will give you rest. There's no rest for people if they letting sin dominate their lives and they're living in sin. That's why people done been married to Hollywood, all the money they got. You would think they'd be the happiest people in the world. Them people are some of the miserest people in the world. Been married 5 or 6 times. I knew a man been married 9 times. I don't know how in the world he seemed like he'd got it right after the second or third one. 9 times he'd been married. No rest. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God's yoke don't gall, it don't rub. You put the yoke on an animal, it rubs and it galls. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. It fits just right. If you are not a Christian, please obey the gospel. And if you are a Christian and have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make it right while together we stand and sing, please come.